Chiklis, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
You're damn motherfucking right you are. I'm your motherfucking host, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a.
Yo, Nestorius, the glorious, the man you need to see, the mic on the mic, the M-I-C.
The one, the two, the motherfucking three.
Yo, you can't fuck with me because you cannot see.
You cannot see, the shit ain't free. You dial the motherfucking number 800-893-9562. If you're listening live, if you fucking fell asleep, you just woke up with a cock in your mouth, just call the number 1-800-893-9562.
I love it.
If you don't know what the hell's going on with your life, enlighten yourself. You've just been hit by the motherfucking Nestorius Public Radio Show live every Thursday night on SkidRowStudios.com from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Central Time. Anyway, it's my man Simon Kaufman.
Hey,
yeah,
yo.
Yeah.
Hey, yo.
Yeah. And my nigga right here, Richie Rich, Rich Corbin. What's up?
What's up? What's up, everybody? All right.
And we got a couple of guests on the show. We got my man Ben. You know, what's your last name, Ben?
Sweezy. With an S on it.
Got it. Ben Sweezy and Trisha.
Trisha.
But and I didn't get your last name.
Just call me Twish, honey.
Twish?
Ooh, I like that.
Twish.
She's smooth with it, too. She knows already.
She ain't playing. Okay. All right, so, yo, it's been like 3 weeks since we've been on the air live because I was executive producing and involved in a motion picture that my wife directed and wrote and all that crazy, funky, sticky.
Kevin told me about that, by the way. Congratulations. I'm finally finishing up, and I know it's a huge process.
That's right. That's my man Ben right there, jumping in and shit, you know, getting crazy, you know. So we've been out of town for about 3 weeks. We aired a couple of pre-recorded shows and shit, but we're live, motherfuckers! You know what I'm saying? We're live! Right fucking now, we're live. You're listening live to the motherfucking Nestorius Public Radio Show. We're bomba clotting in your motherfucking ear. You know what I'm saying? We're blasting airwaves up your culo. We're blasting airwaves up your earwig hole, your bomba clot pussy clot man. Brooklyn!
Yo, you've been doing all this dope producing and directing of movies. You haven't had a chance to tell them what time it is.
Yo, hey, yo, the shit is this, man. Rewind your dial, come alive, y'all. Don't stop, peep the hole, eat the donuts, take the jelly hole out your ass, cause shit be passing, you know what I'm saying? Green grassing, you know what I mean? Microbiotic free beef sticks in your motherfucking nostrils, know what I mean?
The problem with other podcasts is they don't know what the fuck is going on.
Like us, except we don't give a shit about it.
Eating pizza, drinking margaritas,
you know
hanging
what I'm saying?
Out.
Happy hour.
Seahawks won on Thursday Night Football.
Yes, sir.
Wanna
yes,
send
sir.
A shout out.
Afrocentric, plucking eyebrows, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So Trisha. Oh, Queen Trish, Trisha Lish. So,
Twish Honey.
Twish Honey.
Yo, you gotta get it right. Yo, before you come out, you gotta get it right. You don't wanna mess that up.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you right now, we're gonna get all the fucking crazy, you know, we're gonna get the crazy college shit out the way. Twish Honey. I love that shit. what is that?
Well, that's what my dad calls me.
Your dad?
Yeah, you know, he's Asian, so he can't say the R. So my name is Trisha, so it's Twish Honey.
Twish. You're hilarious.
You're hilarious.
So we were talking the other day in New York City. They got Cuban Chinese,
okay.
And they got motherfuckers, and you know they speak Spanish with a Chinese accent. Tú quieres algo? Tú quieres algo con pollo? Tú quieres habichuela? Ponga ya un poquito más, okay? ¿Quieres café? Café con leche. They're crazy.
Well, that's right up my alley because I'm half Spanish and half Thai.
So you know what's up.
I got it.
You know what's up.
Yeah.
All right. So you were on the film Twish.
Yes.
Twish Honey.
Yes.
You were on the set. Ben, you weren't. But you were on the set one day.
Yes.
That wasn't the first time you were on set.
No,
right?
It wasn't.
But before I get onto that, what do you do? I know you spoke to me briefly and you were explaining to me that you were into social media and all that other stuff.
Absolutely.
So are you a PR person?
Mm, marketing. Yeah.
Marketing. Okay. Yeah. Dope.
It's
dope.
All the same thing, essentially.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on what platform you're working
on. Right, yeah.
Okay, okay. And so tell me about your day on set. I think you came in on one of those days that was, I mean, every day was a little hectic on some point, but that day there was a lot of extras and it was a big scene in the Aloha room, right?
Listen, the best part about it was meeting George Hamilton. Yeah. Absolutely, that man's got swag.
Isn't he amazing? Yeah. So yeah, for those of you that don't know, we were fortunate enough. First of all, the film is called Silver Skies. If you listen to episode 22, I believe, Rosemary Rodriguez was here. We were discussing female directors, and we touched on the pre-production aspect of Silver Skies. But we had George Hamilton. We had Barbara Bain, who was the blonde chick from Mission Impossible back in the 60s. We had Valerie Perrine, who is an Academy Award nominated actress for...
In the movie Lenny, Lenny Bruce. She was also in the movie Superman 1 and Superman 2. Not this stupid-ass new Superman shit, the real shit.
But forget that Superman shit.
Not the movies they keep coming out with so they can sell Slurpee Cups to fat kids. No, we're talking the real Superman.
No, forget that. No, she was an Academy Award nominated actress. She played Dustin Hoffman's wife. Dustin Hoffman portrayed Lenny Bruce in the movie Lenny, and she played Honey Bruce. She also played W.C. Fields' love interest. So she played a couple of wives or love interests of fucking whacked out, you know, comedians and shit, because W.C. Fields and Lenny Bruce had similar parallels, believe it or not. But anyway, we had Jack Betts, who he's more of a theater actor, but he also played...
No, but he's been on Guiding Light. He's been on shit. Life to Live. Well, he was in the movie Spider-Man.
He was in Spider-Man, right. He was in the Commissioner Gordon equivalent of the Batman. I don't know. He was a newspaper guy. He was the boss.
The newspaper guy, right. Yeah.
He was the newspaper guy. Then we had Jack McGee, who you all know from my previous shows, previous episodes. We also had Alex Rocco, amazing man, who was he played Mo Green. On the Godfathers. I think Godfather 1, because he got iced in Godfather 1.
You don't
right?
buy me out, I buy you out.
Yeah, you don't buy me out, I buy you out.
The guy that got shot, the famous scene, he got shot through his fucking eyeglasses while getting a massage. Correct. That shit can happen.
Correct. Because it can happen. Well, basically, if you remember the scene, he was the Las Vegas faction of the mob when. Vegas was starting to be built up in the 60s, so you know he was the Jewish faction, the Jewish mob, and he was basically, he had the fort down, and at that time Al Pacino, who was, you know, I guess the youngest son of
Michael Corleone, is just taking over the mafia,
right?
And nobody thinks he can really do it right. Everyone's thinking he's going to bottom out. Right. He's not his father.
He's not his father, and he's not a mob boy. He went to college. He's supposed to be a lawyer. Blah blah.
He was
blah.
A World War II war criminal, right, war
right,
hero.
Right.
Excuse
right,
me.
Right. Right.
And
right.
And yeah. And
and he comes back, and he's got a plan. He foresees the future, and one of the things he does is he goes to Vegas and he wants to clean shit out, and he's given Mo Green an opportunity to just, like, you know, step off, let me take care of shit. And Mo Green says this thing. Anyway, that's Alex Rocco. And then we had Mariette Hartley, who has a fucking 18,000 pages on her IMDb. Am I missing somebody? You have Valerie Perrine, Mariette Hartley.
Twish Honey. We had Twish Honey.
Twish Honey. No. Barbara Bain. Anyway, the fucking... But George Hamilton, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
Classic.
Total.
Classic.
Yeah.
All the older ladies were coming out. Anyway, wasn't that a trip? Oh, and Rich, I got to say something, man. I got to give, you know... Big the fuck up to Rich. And big the fuck up to Trish, all right? Because not Twish, honey, but Trish. Big the fuck up for hooking shit the motherfucker up. Unbelievable. These guys gave their lives pretty much for 3 weeks up for nothing. Big up to Kevin, the motherfucking intern that took care of shit. fucking
Kevin's
clean.
Kevin's that man, dude. Kevin's that dude. He's on his shit. He's on
clean
his
toilet
shit.
Bowls, made fucking bacon and egg sandwiches. He scrubbed the motherfucking, he scrubbed the sink. My man had no shame.
Yo, you killed me in that email you sent me. You were like, yeah, one day I'm going to get Kevin to help me with cutting my grass.
No. What it was is that he's supposed to come, he's supposed to do the show, but he says, I got class. I said, obviously, class is more important to him than doing the fucking Nestorius Public Radio show. But no. I mean, Kevin, seriously, he got down.
He's a great guy. And you know what? I'll tell you what, because I'm about, in my program, all my guys are film, they're film majors, and I'm
right,
not.
Right.
So, and he noticed, because we all had to say what we wanted to do, and I said, I wanted to do radio.
And he did the fucking responsible thing. He's like, Ness, listen, I know you need a radio guy. I'm not a radio guy. I have a class, but I know a kid who has cocaine connections in downtown LA. He's really good at radio, and we're going to hook you up. But Rich, how was it for you, man? How much, tell me from your experience. I know you were, you know, I was emotionally attached, and I was bugging the fuck out half the time, because all I saw was people's deficiencies, not, you know, not the good shit. You know, and there was a lot of good shit.
There was
more good shit than deficiencies. But you know, that's just my own, you know, myopic fucking negative. You know,
when you're working on a movie,
when you
like
got $250,000 of your own motherfucking money,
yeah.
You tell me, you call me up and tell me how you're gonna fucking feel better about it. You know, fucking call me up 1-800-893-9566. Go ahead, call me up right now and tell me how you would handle it.
No, you know what? When you're working, dude, everybody pulled together and helped out at every point. You know, everybody just, if there was a problem, everybody pulled together. It was just love, man. Everybody loved
everybody. It was love.
It was just, I that's all you can do to explain that. It's just everybody helped everybody. There was no problems, you know, as far as, you know, you need that? I got it. What do you want? What do you want me to do right here? There was nobody, you know, pulling airs or anything like that.
Yeah, except for maybe one or two guys.
Well, you know. Yeah. We'll leave them
out. We have to take him out.
We'll leave them out. We don't need to give them any credit.
And then Simon was on. He came in to just volunteer services. And, you know, Rosemary, the director that she is, she pulls him into the, you know, front court and has him reading fucking lines with the actors and shit.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm hanging with all these famous actors. They were very gracious.
Come on. We met how long ago? Like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, five months ago?
Yeah, like right when I moved here. Like
5 months ago,
well,
right?
Well, so what? It was her birthday, right? It was March.
February.
It was my birthday. It was your birthday.
It was March and my birthday.
But yeah, it was your birthday.
Right. Yeah. Well, talk about synchronicity, right? Because her and I got into a big fight the day of my birthday. We were supposed to go out there, and we didn't. So we wound up going a couple of... I think a week later, and that's when we met. And your whole life has changed. Your hair is fucking looks darker. You know, your cock's larger. Everything's worked out for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got a fucking you're a co-host on NPR within weeks. You get to play a police officer in the movie, dude. Come on.
Yeah. No. What was so great is I moved to LA. I'd started at this new restaurant, and one of my first nights working, I get this table. I look over. I'm like, oh shit. These fucking guys. And it was Nestor and his wife. No, I'm joking.
This motherfucker right here, I said, this dude is a character. He's like, well, what you want is the double cut ribeye. You really know why he just gets into this fucking...
No, like, this is shitty.
And I'll tell you why.
This tastes like shit. This is why.
You want the most expensive steak on the menu, but you should get two.
I love them. No. Because my wife wants to get a pound fucking ribeye. She ain't going to eat. She's going to eat two bites. And I got to drop $50 fucking. And then I'm going to have my own ribeye, and I'm going to eat the whole thing, and I'm going to have to eat her fucking thing.
Yeah, well, they were asking me about steaks. I was like, this is what you want, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay? First of all, when my ancestors came to America, you know, okay, Haim, and they were butchers. They were the first butchers in Brooklyn, okay?
Aunt Rena.
And before shit was kosher, okay, we used to import the beef straight from the family farm, all right? Anyway.
That's how that went down.
No, that was great. And we started bullshitting, and you have your place on Lexington Ave.
100th Street and Lexington Avenue. That's right, and in New York City. And
I'd lived in Harlem.
You lived in the hit Harlem.
And we talked about Ricardo's Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Where the steaks are hot and so are the waitresses.
Ha, yeah. Yeah. And if you're not hungry, you step into the back room and we give you a little... Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now I'm ready to have a steak.
Yeah,
Ricardo. I, you know what? I'm not that hungry, but I'll order a steak anyway. I'll just leave it there so it looks
later,
like I'm here.
Later.
So it's like I'm here to go to a steakhouse. All right. So, but you got to do a part. There was a part opened.
Yeah, I got a bad cold that day too, man.
Yeah. But you got to fucking be in the film.
Great,
Rich, you know, this is what happens. The magic of being there. Being at the right place at the right time. Right?
I think you say the magic of being rich.
Let me tell you something. As we all know, we've discussed a lot of different aspects of the conversations that we have all over the fucking place when we do the show. But, you know, Rich could be described, I mean, richnesses could be described as, you know, your relationships. The more relationships you have, the more rich you are, yeah. Right? Because you could be a fucking wealthy motherfucker and you got nothing, nobody to share with. You're a lonely, bipolar, depressed fuck inside of a mansion.
Poor Richard's life.
You know what I'm saying? So, we were surrounded by a lot of people with big hearts and everyone gave their heart and soul. You know, when that stuff happens in the film, this isn't the first time we've done it. It's magic. I mean, seriously, making a film is magic. It's a miracle, right?
Well, it says a lot about your wife when all these famous actors want to come on board for her project.
Right. Well, the script.
You know who wanted to do it too was Lily Tomlin. If you remember, Lily Tomlin wanted to do it.
No. We wanted to.
She just couldn't.
No, she couldn't do it.
Why? Yes.
She was busy. She's touring. First of all, we had spoken to a few other actors. Lily Tomlin was one of them that was going to, you know. See, the dude, Fred Roos, who also executive produced the Godfather movie. He's very close with Francis Ford Coppola. My wife and him are pretty tight. Mm-hmm. So he's an old school Hollywood dude. My man makes a phone call. People are like, oh, Fred's got a script. And the agents will pass it on to the actors, blah, blah. So it was like that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Jacqueline Bisset had a meeting with my wife
nice.
For like 4 hours in her fucking house mm-hmm. the Saturday before we're starting to shoot. Lily Tomlin read the script. You know, and a lot of times, you know, what's interesting about this is that, so it's a lot of work. I mean, you see that. You see the crew's a lot of work, 12, 13, 14-hour days. These actors, you know, George Hamilton, you know how much he got paid a day?
No.
Think. Give me a guess.
I have no clue.
$100.
And a bag of goldfish.
See, I love him even more.
Right?
Now.
Right?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And he had a big fucking like weight to do that role that he did. I mean, he's playing a guy who goes in and out of thinking he's Dean Martin. He's got Alzheimer's. And he fucking knocked it out, man. Yeah. I can't wait for the rough cut, you know.
Because you have to play a character who thinks he's a different character.
Well, you got to go
That's
in and out of it.
Yeah.
No, it isn't easy. And for it to not come out goofy, you got to do your research. And aside from the research, you have to, have multi-layers of commitment to it. And he was all in there. What happened? We were running around getting stuff for the shoot on a Saturday, bringing this, bringing that. What happened? We go to my house and what happened? Who's
Man.
There?
We roll up and walk in, and there's George Hamilton
sitting in my motherfucking
in his
table,
house, sitting at his table. And then these two start talking about cigars
in Spanish.
In Spanish, I mean, this dude.
Wait a minute,
George is
Spanish?
Fluent.
Yeah, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Oh my God, he just starts.
I walk in my fucking house. My wife is sitting there with George Hamilton. I'm like, yo.
He's wearing your bathrobe.
Like, and
you're
I didn't
like,
realize
yo,
this.
He's like, hola.
I didn't realize this, but he had his own cigar line called
Hamilton. Right.
Really?
He had his own cigar. Yeah, he did.
I gotta try those.
His business was his cigar label is no longer, but he's a big cigar guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what an amazing fucking guy. You know what I mean?
It really shows to his talent, too, to be able to play a character that has to play another character. It's like a layer, and it really shows to his commitment that he can do that and really not mess it up because you see a lot of actors.
Well, here's the other thing. He actually ran with the Rat Pack. He actually ran with fucking Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and fucking Frankie Knuckles.
Dude,
you know
he ran with everybody, man. He was like Seriously, he crossed many circles.
I'm doing an interview, right? I'm trying to be serious with this fucking guy, right? About, you know, his role. No, his role, this, that, and the other. And I'm asking him, you know, I'm saying pretty much this for the electronic press kit that we're doing for the video, the DVD, whatever. And I'm asking him, I'm basically saying that, you know, if you Google him or if you IMDb him or whatever, Wikipedia, a lot of times what they'll say is he's Hollywood's last playboy, right? Yeah. He goes, I'm a last playboy, and I'm sitting here by a pool in a senior center getting paid $100 a day. I'm a playboy. Let's just move on.
Keep it going.
Yeah, let's just move on, okay? That's what he says. The dude's hilarious. Anyway, George Hamilton, you bomba clad, pussy clad, motherfucker. Yeah, man. So, anyway, so, you know, I just wanted to get all the gritty shit out of the way, man. You know, but, like, we're going to do the...
One thing we got to talk about today, man, is, you know, because you know one thing we do here on NPR, Nestorius Public Radio, is we talk about the issues prevalent out there. Prevalent, relevant, and prevalent.
Yes.
That's right.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about stupid motherfuckers in America. Nothing new, but more specifically, how SAT scores have gone down and new mental illnesses due to internet use and overuse of cell phone and electronic devices. And we're going to take a look at an official, authentic 1912 eighth grade examination from Bullitt County, Virginia. Stay tuned so you can feel how retarded you really are.
If anybody out there is wondering, am I retarded? Yes, and we're going to teach you why.
And we're going to show you how. That's correct. So, right off the bat, I'm not sure if we should even get into the article, the test. You know what? Let's just do how bad have SAT scores gotten. So, I mean, first of all, who here has not taken an SAT test? We've all taken one, right?
I didn't take it.
Oh, you didn't take one?
Nah.
Well, neither did I.
I said, fuck you! Fuck you! Test, you motherfucker!
Fuck you! I am Persian! I don't need though!
I will fuck my own ass! I don't need you to do it!
I don't need the SAT! I fuck you!
Oh, man.
I didn't take the SAT because to get welfare insurance checks, I just had to show my ID that I was an American citizen. I didn't need an SAT examination. You know what I mean? Plus, nobody in my fucking neighborhood knew what it was. So I said, fuck it. I guess I don't need that.
I didn't take the SAT because I pretty much stopped going to high school right after junior year for the most part. I mean, I was still enrolled, but I barely went.
Man, get the fuck out of here. You had like 8 family members vouching for you in all the fucking Jewish universities on the West Coast.
Dude, I've only been to college once, and it was good to go to the cafeteria and get chicken strips while I was waiting for my friend.
Using his ID card to swipe by.
Is that true?
Yeah, I was done with school. After junior year, I was like, this is fucking pathetic.
Is that true?
Yeah,
You don't even have a high school diploma?
No, I do. I graduated high school with a 1.2 grade point average.
What does that mean?
I have 19.25 credits, and you need 19.5 in the state of Washington, which is like really not a lot.
In the state of Washington, all you need to do is make it to 18 without fucking hanging yourself for all the fucking depressive weather that's there, and they'll give you a fucking high school diploma.
As long as your urine doesn't have the alphabet letters THC floating around, they'll give you a
Well, actually, all jokes aside, I did take the SAT because I was a aspiring spick when I was a kid. You know, I thought, you know, I'm going to show my family that I'm not going to grow up to be like my father and overdose on fucking Johnny Walker Black. I was going to show my family that I wasn't going to grow up to be an alcoholic fucking heroin addict. Fuck. But, you know, so I took the SAT test and what was the average? 1550 back then? Was it?
You needed to get a 1600.
Back
1600
then.
Was the most.
Yeah. That was perfect, wasn't it? Yeah.
Right.
1550 was the average.
That's pretty good.
If you got 1550, then
you're brilliant.
Then what? You would expected to get a.
Well, 1550 for those of you that don't know, and the SAT,
you get a B minus.
Whoa.
No, right. No.
You're quoting off of the new numbers since they raised it.
No.
Back then, 1,600 was the highest.
Right.
Perfect.
What average was more like 1,200.
You're right. Absolutely right. So
it happens
anyway,
a lot.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. The average, the whole purpose of this examination, they sell it to you as under the guise of it's a college prep to get you into. Here's the deal. It's basically so when you apply to colleges could discriminate against you and choose who is more apt to get a good average score, average B+, B-, C+, A- during freshman year.
Yeah, well, a lot of the reasons they came up with college in the first place was to keep white chicks from getting pregnant during the years that they probably
didn't help.
Fuck around and get pregnant.
Didn't help.
Right, but then fast forward to 1993, Sir Mix-a-Lot fucked that whole thing up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was really
fucked it up.
Well, but you want to hear what's crazy is I never took the SATs, but my little sister, she got a 1490. She was a national merit finalist, 99 plus on her LSAT. She's like one of the most decorated
kids.
But
your sister's a lawyer. She's a lawyer now, right?
Yeah, she got the good semen. Drizzled off the bottom of a Kleenex. I was hanging off a Kleenex with one fucking arm. You know?
Anyway, I was trying to put and Esther there, but it was kind of slow. You know, but they're saying, I mean, this shit ain't surprising, but they're basically saying that since 1972, the SAT scores have been going down. They have been decreasing. There have been some interesting numbers. I mean, that really shouldn't surprise any of us, right? Since 1972, it's like...
Well, you know what else happened, what historians say happened in 1972?
What?
Is that's where they start the beginning of the obesity epidemic.
Because
it was 1972 that high fructose corn syrup was invented.
Right, and McDonald's...
So as people are getting fatter in their stomachs, their brains are getting smaller.
Smaller, right. And they can't sit in those fucking bullshit collegiate chairs that were designed for skinny fucks in the 60s.
Well, you know, there was a time during the Cold War where we prided ourselves in trying to be the leaders in education. There was a time in United States history in the 40s and 50s
and 60s.
Where we wanted to be the leaders in education, going to the moon.
Yeah, but what happened was the Asians came along and they fucked it all up. They said, yo, wasting your time. Yo, wasting your time.
Well, what else happened? I think one of the things that largely contributed to the stupidity of America is 1980s movies.
Yeah, like Valley Girl. Like Valley Girl.
Yeah, I mean, just like, or like Meatballs, Porky's.
Yeah,
like,
Porky's.
All of a sudden, everyone wanted to be a fuck-off. Like, Fast Times
Animal
at Ridgemont
House.
High. Yeah. Animal House. After that, I mean, it became cool to be a fuck-up
like
in
to
this
be
country.
A fuck-up, yeah, exactly. It was cool to become, like, who gives a shit?
Just to drink and not fuck right around. You know, yeah. Drunk, fat, and stupid is way to go through life, son.
To aspire to be a fucking alcoholic and a fat-ass burping Spartans.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of those movies, I think, that helped make people want to be stupid.
Right.
And then what else happened was, let's see, what else? What are some other things?
High fructose corn syrup. Oh, you said that already. My
high
brain
cells
are
corn syrup. let's see. I think, if you want to know my opinion, I think...
Zima, I think, had a big Zima helped out a lot, actually.
You just reminded me.
Zima and Coors Light. Made in the same plant.
You just reminded me. I left some coconut water in my freezer.
If you want to know when I think, if you want to see, since the end of World War II, America was like going up.
Yes.
But if you want to know, in my opinion, I've thought about this a lot. The precise moment, and nobody better fucking steal this because I'm turning this into a comedy bit. But the precise fucking moment that America went to shit. You want to know what it was?
When?
The precise pinpoint moment that America reached the top.
And then
and started going back
and
down the other side.
Like, bullseye.
The top of the mountain and started going down. It was when the song Rump Shaker came out by Rex and Effects.
I agree you. All I want to do is take a zoom, 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 take
that
a boom, boom.
That is the pinpoint, precise moment that America went to shit. Before that, nobody stuck their boom, booms and zoom, zooms. People did normal shit. Men dressed like men, women dressed like women. Like, things were normal. Now everyone's walking around zoom, zooming and their boom, booms.
Total anarchy.
That song fucking sucked. It sucked the day it came out. It sucked the second day after it came out. That song was never cool.
We were just dancing to
it. That song is retarded. All I want to do is zoom, zoom, zoom. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but listen, you know the lyrics. So yeah, right? Tell you,
I know, because
it irritated him so much.
It's the precise moment. Do you know what happened within the first 6 months of that song coming out? Do you know what happened historically?
Tell me what happened.
Within 6 months of that song coming out, we had one of the first federal bank bailouts.
All because of this.
Yep.
Okay.
We had the first World Trade Center bombing. We had Clinton go back to Iraq to bomb Iraq because of the no-fly zone. I'm seeing a correlation.
Well, needless to say...
You have an interesting timeline that you're devising.
Well, needless to say, Ronald Reagan...
That is the precise moment America went to shit, when little kids are dancing, oh, hey, let's get together and zoom, zoom in each other's boom booms. No! You're fucking retarded!
Come on!
That song sucks!
Just relax!
It's always sucked. I'm talking about the issues for America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rex and effects were communist spies. We never heard of them since.
Yo. But the video, you got a naked bitch in Miami playing a saxophone.
Yeah, like that.
Yes.
Sure.
It happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm from Miami.
She's got a couple of pictures of her with a saxophone.
Yeah, a lot of boom booms.
Yeah, there's a lot of classical musicians sitting by fucking pools in Miami in their bikinis.
It's all a conspiracy with them now, I guess, in your
opinion.
That's one hit wonder. Go to die.
They were plants by Soviet Russia to destroy America. They had one song and they left.
Actually, they were very smart.
Their planet.
They were very smart. They had one song and they left.
Made bank out of it.
Not like these other motherfuckers.
Get the money and run.
That don't get it and they keep going and then they die of a drug overdose.
Okay. For anybody that doesn't know this, that song sucked the moment it was released. Number one, they reused the fucking beat from In Too Deep.
Right.
Okay, number one, it's not even their fucking beat.
It's the intro.
They can't rap. And if anyone thinks they can, go to your cupboard, grab a pistol, and kill yourself.
Anyway, back to the SAT. Back to the SAT.
I think that song took the SATs, actually.
Back to the SAT.
And got a 1600.
1601, motherfuckers.
STD.
So here's the bright spot of the article is that scores and participation improved among minority groups. All right? Yeah, 46% of test takers were minority students, the largest percentage ever. That's because of Obama. Hope. In 2012, 14.8% of African American test takers met or beat the benchmark. They got 1550 or more. The number rose to 15.6% this year. Last year, 22.8% of Hispanic test takers met or beat the benchmark. 22.8, that's pretty good. This year, 23.5% did. ¡Que viva la raza!
0.7, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. Spicks in effect. You know what I'm saying? They ain't playing.
That's half my peeps.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that brings us to the next article, which I love. This is courtesy brought to you by Martinugle Rich. What's up, baby?
You know, interestingly enough, there are 8 new mental illnesses brought to you by the internet.
He's got his old fucking internet grovelly voice.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, let me tell you about this.
There's
8 mental illnesses.
That's his chat room voice.
Hi, so, baby. Boy.
No, so go ahead. Kick him.
What are you wearing?
Him.
Let me see your saxophone.
That's his chat roulette voice.
The internet is an endless buffet of cat videos, bingeable TV, and celebrity Instagrams, and it may also be slowly driving you to the brink of insanity. That's no mere bloggy hyperbole.
Hyperbole.
I can't see. I didn't take the SATs for a reason. As the internet evolved into
Yo, that other word that's coming up is ubiquitous.
Into a ubiquitous part. I knew that. I was just clearing my throat. We've witnessed a rise in the number of distinct mental disorders directly tied to our use of digital technology. These afflictions, which range from benign to destructive, weren't recognized by the medical community until very recently and didn't even exist before the Clinton administration.
After which he got his cock sucked.
Supporting your
intern. I'm in.
Okay, so let's go into one of these.
Ring them.
Let's go into the first one here. We got phantom ringing syndrome.
So, now, this is real. This is real.
This is absolutely real.
I've got
documented.
I've felt this before.
Really. I know a lot.
Can I just say something here? So everybody who's listening to this is not a joke. This is actual mental illnesses that have been documented and have been diagnosed.
They're taking them very seriously. Yes. They're putting them in books and shit.
The American Medical Association has accepted these as diagnoses. Yeah. Benny, go ahead. So phantom ringing syndrome.
So here's the thing. This is my personal thing. I'm driving. You know, my cell phone's on the seat. I forget it's on the seat next to me, and the vibration from the car will kind of, you know, vibrate my pot. And I'm like, oh shit, my phone's buzzing.
So what is it? What is it?
So
when your brain punks you into thinking your phone is buzzing in your pocket.
Have you ever reached for the vibrating phone in your pocket only to realize that it was silent the whole time, or it wasn't even in your pocket to begin with?
That doesn't happen too much in LA because you're in your car and your phone. But in New York City, when I first got, back in the mid 90s, when I first getting a cell phone, by the year 2000, my left pocket where I normally put my cell phone was ringing to the point that my balls started dancing. So I would reach for the phone and there was nothing there. It's a psychological phenomenon. But this is the least of the mental illnesses.
It's just an annoying thing. I mean, before cell phones, before you got used to that, your body just got trained to reach for the phone. But before, if you had just like an itch or some kind of a twitchy muscle or something like that, you'd continue talking and just rub your leg because, but now your brain associates that with the cell phone.
Right.
And because it buzzes so much in your pocket.
And now we don't think about it at all. Like if you would have said that to me, it's an everyday thing.
Yeah. So the next one is nomophobia.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, you did.
Homo, you don't.
What is it? It's the anxiety that arises from not having access to one's mobile phone.
Oh, yeah.
device. The term nomophobia is an abbreviation of no mobile phobia.
Homo, you don't.
So when your phone dies, you're kind of, freaking out.
You don't know what to do with your brain.
Like when
your
Nestor's battery dies.
No, this is true. What it does is that it triggers anxiety, right? It's an anxiety thing. So the next paragraph is actually surmises the actual characteristics of the diagnosis, right?
Right.
So you know that horrible disconnected feeling when your phone dies and there's no electrical outlet in sight? For a few among us, there's a very neutral pathway between that uncomfortable feeling of techno deprivation and a full-on anxiety attack. And so depending on how fucked up you are, you just might go, oh shit, where's my phone, to actually start bugging the fuck out, right?
I agree.
You start bugging the fuck out.
I have so many friends like that, yeah.
You know how you counteract this, or this will happen to everybody, and it has happened to everybody in varying degrees. How you cure this is by exercising, doing exercises, mental exercises. In other words, on occasion, leave your phone at home. Just leave it at home. Go out with your girlfriend. Go out with your boyfriend. Leave your phone at home. Fuck it. Who's calling you, right? Who needs to contact you? It's all bullshit. And you do that a couple of times a week, maybe once a month. Try it. Try it once a month. Sooner or later, when this happens to you, you won't get that full-on anxiety effect because you've been used to not having it. You'll know the feeling of like, oh, it's okay.
You're not going to be nomosexual.
Right.
Well, that's supported in this little graph.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
The if you are a high daily user of your phone, the anxiety will be, proportionate to how much you use your phone.
But here's the thing.
When my phone dies, I just grab a drink and keep going.
But here's the thing. No one uses their phone. for the purpose of what the phone was intended.
Right.
Exactly. When was the last time you had a fucking phone conversation with someone? Yeah. Oh, I forgot. No one remembers what a phone conversation is anyway.
That's
right?
Why they give you unlimited minutes and unlimited texts anymore, because nobody uses it for that anymore. They're always on
the
internet.
They're just giving free phones away. They're like, fuck it. Yeah. Just use it. Whatever. So what's the third?
The next one is cyber sickness, which I find really interesting.
Yeah,
it's the disorientation and dizziness some people feel when interacting with certain digital environments. Apple's latest version of the iOS, iOS 7, is a flattened, versatile, and beautiful reinvention of the mobile user interface. Unfortunately, it's also making people barf, and it provided the most recent high-profile examples of cyber sickness. As soon as the new incarnation of the iOS was pushed out to the iPhone and iPad users last month, the Apple support forum started filling up with complaints from people feeling disoriented and nauseous after using the new interface. This has largely been attributed to Apple's snazzy utilization of the parallax effect, which makes the icons and home screen appear to be moving within a three-dimensional world below the glass. So if you get motion sickness, you know, you're gonna get it even more. It's really going to affect you even more.
I get cyber fucking furiosity every time Apple comes up with a new product. I want to fucking strangle somebody.
I got a case of that, though, because I'm coming from the East Coast and I'm coming from a manual labor job. And when I'm in LA, I work in an office and I sit in front of a computer and a desk all day. And by 2 o'clock, I'm starting to get dizzy.
Right.
Like I'm, you know, my stomach's kind of turning over.
Because
like,
you haven't eaten.
It's so much different.
Your balls start to itch because you haven't touched yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta
run out and get into the coffee or rub one out in the bathroom. I'm just kidding. No, but like it's such a complete change and just sitting in front of a desk all day. It messes with your eyes.
Can I say something, man? Like anytime.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Can I say it?
What's the time?
You can.
What's the time?
It's time to say something.
What's the time?
It's time to say something.
What's the time?
It's time to say something.
What is it? What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
Get busy. Get busy. All right. Let's get back. We're going to do a musical intro in a couple of minutes. But you know, when you get used to something, right, like I got a problem with Yahoo. I got a problem with Windows 8. I have a fucking Windows computer only for my bookkeeper, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as you buy the computer, they're like, oh, well, this computer comes with Windows 8. What they don't tell you is by getting Windows 8, you want to shoot somebody. You want to fucking throw the computer out the window because everything that you understood about a PC no longer is valid.
Oh, these cocksuckers. You have to understand something. I'm from Seattle, Washington. I was there in 1991 during the Great Nerd Revolt.
Where's Seattle?
Seattle.
What country is that in?
Seattle is where the Great Nerd Revolt of 91 took place. Before that, we were a cool, fun, normal city where guys got blowjobs and everyone was normal and they drove cars.
Drank coffee and then eventually hung themselves when it rained too much.
And, you know, normal shit.
Yeah.
Then all of a fucking sudden, these cockbag fucking nerds started piling it. Seattle has the highest nerd per square foot in the United States.
But hold on. We already know this information. What we're talking about here is cyber sickness, Simon.
We're not
talking about fucking angry white guy
Windows.
Syndrome.
You're talking about Windows. Well, I'm talking about Microsoft.
Go ahead.
When Microsoft came in, for a while they were employing 300,000 people.
Right.
Nerds from all over the world started trucking in by the truckloads.
Which, by the way, look. Jeremy Hansen, okay, who runs this fucking studio here, who fucking does all these interfaces. I just want to say something, all right? Jeremy, you know me, right? We've hung out for a while. If I was to ask you, do you think that I went to college for computer science? What would you say?
No.
Absolutely not, right?
Right, but neither did I.
When I went to college, right?
Yeah.
Windows wasn't invented. I had to learn basic disk operating system, Snowball, Cobalt, all that shit.
Snowball?
Snowball. Wasn't it Snowball? What was it called?
That was something different.
That's what I was saying.
That's a different computer language.
That was when I was hidden in the bathroom?
Yeah.
You are from New York City.
Wait a minute. What was the science program? It wasn't Snowball? What was it called?
Were you talking about Cobalt?
No, Cobalt. But what?
Pascal?
Pascal.
If Nestor were to ask you, does he look like he went to DeVry Online? What would you say?
What would you say, Jeremy?
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, seriously, I want to give some props. I'm going to take a moment for props. You're getting angry about Bill Gates going off into a fight. I want to give props. No. Jeremy, I know Jeremy for probably a little bit over a year, maybe, something
probably,
like that.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
over a year. I got turned on to Skid Row Studios through a couple other shows that are no longer with the studio. And the studio has grown. I mean, there was a time when you had like 12 shows. Now you got 18, something like that. Am I wrong?
Yeah. By the end of the month, we're going to have
like 20-something.
Yeah.
Which is a big fucking deal. And what Jeremy does, I just want to say this because you guys out there don't really understand about radio. Forget radio. Internet radio is a completely different fucking realm. So this dude, man, like, you need a program to fucking cure an itch on your ass. He fucking does it in 2 seconds. Like, he puts video cameras on here. By the way, you can watch us live on live stream. Go to skidrowstudios.com. There's a little link on the top, and you can watch the show. But my man, I went to NAB with you earlier this year. When was that? February?
April.
And you were fucking...
National Association for Broadcasters.
Correct.
It's like the big deal for anything in broadcast.
TV, radio, any of that. So recording, whatever the fuck. Video, record. That's some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And they got people that go in there and talk about new innovative stuff. And you were talking about how you can, you know, record or have accurate...
Yeah, basically I was talking about how we do our stats, how we track listeners, and how internet radio is very different from terrestrial radio because it's an exact number.
Right.
Where terrestrial radio, they extrapolate their numbers, kind of pull them out of their ass.
Like the Nielsen ratings with TV.
Exactly.
Right here, like for instance, you guys can't see this, but Jeremy has this thing called the Skid Row Studios iCast, what is it? Live listeners?
Live listener count, yeah.
Right, live listener count. So there's a graph in front of me that actually tells me that at like 9 o'clock, I had 7.3 listeners. That's seven guys and three Puerto Ricans that were jerking off in the bathroom. Then it went down to like 6. And then when Simon started talking about fucking Bill Gates at around... The 9:30, it went down to 2.4 listeners. Then it spiked right up. But anyway, it sounds funny and all that stuff, but it's not. It's fucking amazing because the future of radio, the future of TV, and it's how you get dollars is by actually selling to prospective merchants customers, whatever. That we have 50 million listeners. Here's the proof, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's exact number, you know? And people in advertising aren't going to like it because they can't bullshit about their numbers anymore.
Right.
But, I mean, it's more accurate, you know?
Right. Anyway, I just want to do a segue. Yeah. So you're going off on Nerdville, man. Dude, let me tell you something.
If you want to be a Broadway actress, you move to New York. If you want to be a computer nerd from Uzbekistan, you move into my next door. And you chase off all the hot chicks.
If you want to steal computers, if you want to steal computers and sell them on the street, you go to New York City and East Harlem. Very, very cheap, low rent. Anyway, but what I was saying is Windows 8 is a fucking pain in the ass. And the new Yahoo platform.
Homepage,
Fuck the homepage. They emulated Gmails where they stacked the fucking conversation. It's like, if I wanted a fucking email, so I like my emails to be separate so I know which emails are where. Now, if I email you, Jeremy, for example, you reply, I only have one email and it's got me, you, and it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, they got them sorted by thread.
By thread, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And is there any, could you help me? Is there anything I could do for this?
I don't use Yahoo email, man.
Who do you use, Gmail?
I use skidrowstudios.com.
That's the plug.
Yeah!
That's why he's the man.
You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Nigga said, I fucked that shit. I use my own shit. That's what I'm talking about. You see what I'm saying? Enough said.
I agree, though. And what's happening here with Yahoo and Google
it's
and
ridiculous.
Everybody? No, but with all them, with them changing the operating systems and all of this stuff, what's happening is it's taking Nestor's ADD and ADHD and it's cranking it up to the next fucking level.
Oh,
it's making people worse. No, really, it's turning people who are like. you know, they don't have ADD, and now they're like, oh shit, now I gotta fucking learn this. Now
why are you fucking, why are you fucking with it?
But here's the thing. Listen, this is good. Maybe it's off the beaten path, but when you bought a toaster back in the 50s and 60s, you took that toaster in some place and they fixed it. It was the same goddamn toaster you had for 20 fucking years, and you knew what button you had, and you went in there and you fucking, you used that goddamn toaster. You didn't have to worry about anything else.
Right.
You were Now you got digital fucking toasters. You're drying bread at an accelerated rate. How what the fuck do you need a goddamn timer with the fucking buttons?
No, computerized.
Seriously, Well, I need to put a timer
on
the
toaster. Put a sensor. With a sensor.
Fucking, what the fuck? It's toast. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah, like, are you toasting a bagel or bread or what?
Just stop it. It's a goddamn toast. Now you can throw your toaster out. You can throw your toaster out if you just don't like the color of it anymore.
But you know what it is?
Because they're 10
smart
bucks.
Toasters, stupid people.
No, but you know what it is?
Yeah,
is
well, that, strong mind, weak back.
It's almost like the philosophy of
weak trying mind, strong back.
Trying to get new users and stuff like that.
I'm white. I can't say that shit. I'm not allowed to say that.
It's almost like the philosophy of trying to get new users. So Yahoo, you know, Gmail had that thread fucking email. If you want that, I got 3 Gmail accounts. I don't use them because I hate that fucking thing. I just hate it.
Yeah.
So now Yahoo does it. It's almost like, you remember that phenomenon that Coke did? They fucking did Coke Classic. They tried to fuck it up.
Oh, they brought in
new Coke. They gave a new label
new
and whatnot.
No. They changed the whole formula to compete with Pepsi users. Because in the 80s, Pepsi had this, the new generation, and then they had the taste test or whatever. Well, yeah. Anyway.
I mean... There's a thing, I don't want to, you know, there's another theory on that, and all they did with New Coke was jack up the caffeine and jack up the salt in it to get people to drink it more. It just made you more thirsty
and jack up
and more
the cocaine. Yeah.
Really, that's a theory on that.
No, I know, because whenever I drink a Coke, I feel more thirsty.
Yeah,
I
because there's like a pizza's worth of salt in a can of Coca-Cola.
So anyway,
that's why there's so much sugar in it.
The next one is Facebook depression.
Oh, this is interesting. This is actually
very interesting.
Humans are social creatures, so you might think that the increased communication facilitated by social media would make us all happier and more content. In fact, just the opposite appears to be true. A University of Michigan study shows that depression among young people directly corresponds with the amount of time they spend on Facebook.
Good, I hope they kill themselves.
In other words, here's the layman's term. Are you a loser? Do you have nothing to live for? Have you collected a massive amount of pictures of you doing stupid shit?
Do you photograph your food at a restaurant before you eat it like a dumb shit?
Did you drop out of kindergarten? Did you aspire to jerking off for the rest of your life? Well, great. We've developed a new social media. You don't have to leave your house. In fact, you don't have to wash your ass. Just stand in front of the computer for endless hours, wasting your boss's money. That's right, Facebook. The new thing to do.
Facefuck.com.
but this is basically
is interesting. This really is because one possible reason is that people tend to post only good news about themselves on Facebook. Vacations, promotions, party pics, blah, blah, blah. So it's very easy to fall under a false belief that everyone else is leading a far and happier, successful life than you. So then what do you, and so then it makes you depressed. So then what do? Then you start posting happy, shiny fucking pictures.
I got a solution. Get the fuck out of your house. Volunteer at a senior center, you cocksuckers. Do something with your fucking life. Get off of Facebook. Stop posting bullshit. Do something. Help somebody. Buy some Girl Scout cookies. Bag some groceries. I don't see anything social about fucking the social media bullshit.
No.
I remember social meant when you did something.
It's typebook because you're just sitting there.
Don't get me wrong. I understand.
It's how you connect across the world.
I understand.
It's how you connect.
That's what you connect with losers.
I'm not there to meet people.
No. Do you actually get off the computer and go and meet people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
You know how we used to connect? We used to have student exchange programs. You actually went to school and you decided, you know what? I don't want to fucking die in East Harlem. Let me go check out Russia. I'll learn how to fucking speak Russian. And we'll give an opportunity to a Russian to be a spick for a semester.
My buddy Davey always says, We used to really bully people. Now you get bullied on Facebook.
Right.
Fuck yourself. Whatever
right.
happened to real bullying?
Right. Whatever happened to fucking going to the schoolyard, kicking somebody in the head and taking their lunch?
Yeah. Taking someone's fucking lunch. Now you just like, hey, he bullied me on Twitter.
Right.
Oh, fuck yourself.
You know, one of the things I think was a precursor to getting people used to sharing all their information, and the reason why nobody really gave a fuck that the government's just spying on everything we do is because of social media.
Right.
It put us in the mindset
that it's okay,
that it's cool to just share everything
you're
about
right.
yourself.
You're right.
It's, and that's
right.
why no one gives a fuck that the government's like looking at everything we're doing.
Right.
Well, the government's working with Twitter and Facebook.
Well, check it. You're going to wake up one day, not too far away from today, and there's going to be a probe so far up your ass, and it's going to know everything. It's going to know all your thoughts, all your arguments. It's going to know who you want to stab before you actually do it. And then you're going to go, whoa, my privacy. Who gave them permission to get in my business? Think about this, folks. Let me tell you something. Yesterday, I Googled somebody. No names. I Googled somebody. Somebody that was an asshole to us on our film. This guy was a douchebag to the 20th power. And I said, and he filed a complaint. And unbeknownst to him, it's public information. So I got his number, his email address, and his physical address. So, you know, every day at 2 o'clock in the morning, I've been calling him. And you know, I had a video of a fucking chick playing with her pussy and with a vibrator. Yeah, right there. I just call him up at 2 in the morning, whatever. And I ordered some cock stickers that I'm gonna put on his car. But check this out. How do I know his driver's license? How do I know his license plate? Because the douchebag, I Googled his name and 5 fucking links came to him. I know where he teaches, what school he teaches.
His cock size.
No. I know he owns a DeLorean. I have his license plate number. Think about this. If I want to murder somebody, you know how easy it is today? You don't even have to do shit.
Yeah. Hey, I'm alone up at the cabin all by myself.
Does he have to bed. Does he have the flux capacitor?
Yeah.
I'll show you.
So one time for a computer company that I was working for, we had someone that was attempting to break into our systems. We could see his origin. We could see his email address. That's all we had. We got to the point where we had a picture of the front door of his apartment based off of that information.
Right.
Yeah. So it's easy.
It's fucking. It's ridiculous, dude. It's so ridiculous. I mean,
John McAfee was saying, he's like, look, if I have your name, in 5 minutes, I could be turning the camera on your computer.
But what Jeremy's saying is right. I mean, especially if you're an actor, okay? Every time you have a credit on something, it just fucking, your name goes into a database, and if you put your name, it'll come up in like 5 different strings. Like, are you the producer, the actor, the this, the that? And there's not Wikipedia, but Facebook, MySpace, all these other peripheral sites that hold content, videos of something. It's bizarre.
It's Revenge of the Nerds.
Jeremy's right, though, very right with the whole...
I never heard about that before. Very right.
Very right.
That's just right.
That's just right.
Very right.
Extremely right. I can't talk. I'm a little fucked up.
No, that's pretty cool. I never heard of that one.
He's very right.
You very right.
He's extremely correct.
Yow.
No, listen. Let me talk.
Go ahead,
Jesus
go ahead.
Christ.
I know. We're crazy.
Yo, that ain't very right.
But no. People are so desensitized about their privacy that they'll put anything up. Who was the guy that there was somebody, or was it a guy or a girl that hit a bicyclist on their car and then posted on Facebook
and got
busted with that?
Right.
They feel like they're untouchable because they can just put whatever up on there because they feel like nothing could happen.
Right.
It's called
social media retardation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, but
stupid people.
But I mean, a few episodes back, like maybe 10 episodes, but you, Simon Kaufman, you were adamant about the fact that that should not be admissible in court.
I don't think so.
And I disagree with you. I thought if you're fucking retarded enough to put that information, criminal incriminating information online, fuck you. No. You're stupid. You should not. Though.
Social media,
no.
It's like a video game. It's a corny horseshit thing, and it should not be admissible evidence because what you're going to find is anybody's going to be able to hack into your Twitter, put information
not
in
hack
frame
in.
You.
Not but hack in. No, but listen, no one's hacking
in. Let me ask you a question. If somebody got, like someone like Jeremy was talking about, got a hold of your Twitter account.
Right. How do they get a hold of your Twitter account?
Jeremy, answer that question.
Well, they can just brute force your password and
figure it out. Yeah, but so, not anybody's going to do that. Somebody has to have a motive, right?
Okay, so they have a motive to frame you. What I'm saying
is, why would they want to frame you?
A picture.
Why would anyone want to frame
you? So someone's motive in that situation could be as simple as you have a lot of followers. This person wants to spam your followers, so they get into your account and look like they're sending an advertisement for dildos, and it looks like it's from
Gives you. Virus.
And that's all the motivation they need.
I got that link, and I bought that dildo.
You
and
got that?
Yeah.
So it's
not all bad.
The Spider 2000?
It could be economical, political. Any enemy you have can put you in jail for life by hacking your Twitter. And
Hold
I don't
it.
Think it should be admissible
Hold
in court.
It. You run a fucking guy over.
Good point.
You run somebody over in a bicycle, right? You run them over with your car.
Without an eyewitness,
Hold on.
It should not be
and
admissible
And you put
in court.
A fucking picture of it or a video. Guess what, pal?
No, they didn't put
your
a picture or a video.
Okay, well, that's admissible.
That, no, listen,
Absolutely.
Listen,
right.
Simon.
Sorry,
Simon,
buddy.
They posted it up on there. And
not
that,
a picture.
They,
yeah.
But no. Listen, then they did their own investigation for that. They're like, oh, here's a lead, just like they would do with any suspect.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. What's the difference between Facebook and something more tangible, like a piece of paper?
Yeah,
evidence.
Well,
evidence.
I don't think they're using
it's
it as concrete.
Same thing.
I don't think they're using it.
They didn't go, oh, you posted that. You're fucking busted.
Right,
by
you're
they
guilty.
Went, they went, oh, hey, really? Oh, this guy's
you're
bragging
saying,
about hitting not, somebody on a car, on a bicycle.
It's not concrete evidence.
You're saying, you're saying it's... It should not be admissible in court as evidence. You're wrong, buddy.
No,
you're
time
wrong.
Out.
You're
no,
wrong.
I think what Simon's talking about is people planting false information.
It shouldn't be the only evidence. It shouldn't be the only evidence.
It
should not be admissible. But I have no problem with the detective finding that and then going getting real evidence. That's different.
Yeah.
But you should not
That's what
be
they
able,
did.
Okay, but that's different.
Well, substantial.
But they have to find out. They have to go and get the evidence.
However, if you found real live evidence, that's different. But none of that evidence should be the tweet.
That's
you
live, though. That's live.
To show
Wait
the tweet.
A minute.
They're going to
that
use that as,
out.
Hey, how did you get this evidence, Simon? They're going to go, hey, how did you get this evidence? Well, he posted it on Facebook. So,
and
because they started at Facebook, that all of the other evidence that pointed to this person running over a bicyclist should be inadmissible in court because
Listen,
he
I'm
decided
sorry,
to
I'm
post
sorry,
it on Facebook.
I'm sorry.
You don't need to say where the detective
Hold
does
it.
Not need to say where they got the tip from.
They
Hold
do.
It.
They don't.
Hold it.
No?
I'm sorry,
no.
listeners.
Not if you have the evidence.
This show is not about whether fucking internet evidence is admissible in court. Both of you guys, shut the fuck up, okay?
You brought it
that's
up.
I know. It's my fault. But that's it. It's enough. All right, I'm gonna throw a fucking mouse at both of you guys.
next disease.
Okay, internet. Thank you. Internet addiction disorder, and then we're gonna move on to that test because you guys are fucking unruly tonight. Jesus Christ! Had I known, I would have just had you guys come and do the show without me, man. All right, internet addiction disorder. Now this is not brain. I mean, this is not.
No, it's just you find a new toy and you obsess over it.
Well,
you know?
Here's the deal. Instant gratification. The thing about the internet is that it plays to the emotional connection of something that isn't really real necessarily. Going back to that Facebook thing, it may be, you know, somebody posting pictures of them, you know, doing this, doing that. Meanwhile, they ain't doing shit. They're home. They're in front of some green screen, whatever. You know, the internet gives you the illusion that, you know, you can do, you can have, you can, and it's, that's addictive. That's instant gratification.
Anything's
and compulsive.
Addictive.
It's like, you know, like
is addictive.
It's like,
no.
No,
but
it
this,
is.
No, I know, but
it's just not that harmful.
No.
It's not going to make you lose your job.
I know where you're coming from though, because it's
We're
like,
not talking
so
about
for
everything's addictive. We're talking about internet being very addictive, yeah. And why?
Okay. Caters to your emotions right off the bat because say I sign up for a Twitter account and then right off the bat I have 30 of my close friends follow me. So right off of my first 2 days, I have the most amount of followers that I'm going to get at one time.
Your ego gets bloated.
Right. So then you start following people and it's just, it reels you in.
The same thing with video games. You know, you're a fucking low aspiring, fucking not aspiring to nothing, cornflake eating, fucking 8 day old milk drinking, and you play video games and you feel like you've conquered the world. Meanwhile, you haven't done shit. You haven't taken a shower. You haven't combed your hair. You don't have dental floss in the house.
You saved the princess, but you lost the mortgage.
I understand that because Quake 2 took 6 months of my life off because I just played that game for 8, 10.
Quake 2
was this video game, and it came out, and I was like, oh, shit. And seriously, I just played that fucking thing for like 8, 10 hours. It wasn't like this role-playing shit. It was a first-person shooter, but I completely get it was interesting to me.
You want to go to instant gratification? Let's go back to AOL, okay? Let's go back to instant...
Dial-up.
No. Remember that shit? You have to fucking jerk off in increments. You have to stop.
Who picked up the phone?
You have to whack off 2 seconds and then wait and then whack off. It took like 5 hours to fucking have an orgasm. It was amazing.
Rich could beat Quake by the time you fucking
ejected. Yeah. No, but go back to instant messaging. This is the first time that you had the emotional stimulus that you're actually talking to somebody instantaneously without them being there. You were talking about, Twitch, that you can go and connect with somebody in another fucking part of the world.
That's
or whatever.
Right.
So now, this is back in the early 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, probably later in the 80s or whatever. But you can go, you know, you can go into these chat rooms, you know, women who like thorny dicks or something. Remember those fucking chat rooms that they used to have? And there's all these fucking subcultures. All these subcultures that when you're a kid, you're like, you know, how you met people, how you did things was like, you wanted to get high, you had to go to the street corner, you had to know somebody, you had to do something. You want to get laid, you had to go to the bar, you had to be able to talk, you had to have some rap, right?
Yeah.
You had to work for it. Now all of a sudden you go to AOL, there's fucking rooms, you can talk to people. Bing! Oh shit, how you doing? Are your nipples hard? Yes, they are. What are you wearing?
I am Katya from Prussia.
Dude, talk about impulse. Talk about addiction, bro.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, the good news to all this is when the Terminators come and wipe it all out, we're going to go back to normal.
Okay, look. We're gonna get like spend a couple of minutes on this, so I'm gonna wrap it up because we have a tendency of going off on serious tangents here on Nestorius Public Radio.
Well, you know, we're taking it to the people.
It's all in good fun.
It's all. We got followers that understand that we need medication, and we got sponsors. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Support for NPR comes from Microcock, producing small cocks for computer nerds.
That's right. So I came across this. This is crazy. You guys all read this Bullitt County history on the Bullitt County History Register in 1912. Somebody found this eighth grade examination from 1912. Now, this examination is broken down into all these different categories. One of them is spelling, reading, arithmetic, grammar.
Geography.
You remember that? Grammar?
They were very right on this test, too.
You remember what that was, right? Grammar?
Verbals. The verbals. Yeah,
the W beat don't stop to the beat. Rap to the beat. Lick it on the corn. So, grammar, geography, physiology.
Oh, I thought that was fizz soda. I'm sorry.
No, but that's not spelled right. That's funny. That's not spelled that. Physiology. Oh, it is spelled right.
It's spelled right.
I'm fucked up.
Physiology. Biology.
You know what it is?
Are you smarter than an eighth grader?
No, you know what it is?
Physiology.
You know what it is? Visually, I haven't seen that word in a long time. Yeah, right. Sure. Physiology, civil government, history, and that's it. Now, check out some of these questions. This is ridiculous, some of these questions. Like, okay, for instance, grammar, right? How many parts of speech are there? And then define each. That's 20 points. This shit is just broken down into points, right? Define proper noun, common noun, Name the proper use. Name the proper ties of a noun.
How about this? Describe the Battle of Quebec.
Yeah, that's when somebody
they beat the shit out of each other with hockey sticks or something. Well,
let's do it by category. Don't jump all over the fucking place. Fucking Jewish guys. They always trying to take over the world. They try to take over the world, man. Different parts.
Yeah, let's not jump all over the place.
Let's not jump over the place. All right. No, so. Here, diagram. This is a trip. Diagram. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. What the fuck is that?
Grammar.
Parse all the words in the following sentences. John ran over the bridge. Helen's parents love whatever the hell her. It's ripped. Love her.
No, how about this? This is a good one. Let's try to answer some of these questions. All right, guys, let's play a trivia game. All right. First person, you got to go bzz, and then you get it. Or like, locate Erie Canal. What waters does it connect and why is it important? Anybody?
Okay.
Anybody?
Erie Canal. Lake Erie.
Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania. No. I know Pennsylvania? Lake Erie?
I don't think so. Lake Erie is up in Michigan.
Erie Canal connects Lake Michigan and Lake Erie.
Yeah, it's the five great lakes.
Okay. Check this out. Let's not get fucking crazy questions. If you're going to ask a question that maybe someone here might have an opportunity
to... Through what waters would a vessel pass in going from England through the Suez Canal to Manila?
Yeah.
A channel?
U.S. Airways.
No.
A channel?
What waters? They would pass the North Sea, they would pass the Atlantic, the Mediterranean, the Indian Ocean, and I think that's it. And the Pacific Ocean.
And
maybe.
All of this would Am be right? accomplished?
Shit, I don't know.
And all of right. this would be accomplished through Twitter.
With Leonardo DiCaprio on the boat.
No, but hold on. That was geography. I mean, seriously, define longitude and latitude, okay? Now, here's a name and give boundaries of the five zones. Dude, I mean...
What?
Yeah, exactly. This is eighth grade. This is eighth grade. I mean, here, locate these cities. Now, this is not that difficult for us, but... Back then, eighth grade in a small town in Virginia, locate these cities, Mobile,
Alabama.
Quebec,
mm-hmm.
Buenos Aires, Liverpool, and Honolulu. We all know those answers, not a big deal. But I'm saying, name in the order of their size three largest states in the United States, right? Locate
Alaska.
Alaska, Texas, California, and Texas.
Right.
Texas.
But that you know that, but I'm saying back then, locate the following mountains. Blue Ridge. Yeah. Himalaya, Andes, Alps, and Wasatch. I mean, come on.
In a hick town in Virginia, you don't really expect them to know that
now,
much.
Now, here's the crazy shit. Physiology, eighth grade. How does the liver compare in size with other glands in the human body?
It's the largest.
Where is it located?
Next to the kidneys, maybe.
Right. What does it secrete?
Which one?
What does it secrete?
Yeah. It says secrete. It doesn't say secrete.
What is it, secrete?
Yeah.
It's the liver secretes absolute vodka.
Jameson.
Johnny Walker Black.
Jägermeister.
Okay, so here. Name the organs of circulation. Exactly.
The heart?
Okay. Yeah. There's
the dick?
Yeah. Here. Compare arteries and veins as to function. Where is the blood carried to be purified? The answer to that is go back to question number one.
The heart.
Where does it go to be purified?
The heart.
The liver.
Really?
Yes.
It purifies your blood?
Sure does.
The liver.
Sure does. Yes.
All right.
That's when you get cirrhosis of the liver. What happens? The liver stops functioning, and what happens? You urinate blood. Mm. So the blood.
I didn't know Skid Row had a med school portion of their show.
Well, the liver's also regenerative.
Well, not for nothing. They teach that shit in Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, that's basic. That's basic common knowledge for alcoholics.
Here's a good one. I wasn't enrolled.
Name two presidents who have died in office and three who were assassinated.
Andrew Jackson,
Abe Lincoln,
Abraham Lincoln, and
they were assassinated.
Not Andrew Jackson, I'm sorry. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, obviously, but Aaron Burr
was the vice president. And he was assassinated. No.
Because he had polio. Well, I know that.
Taft died in office.
Okay, this is civil government you're under now. That whole thing right there would make everyone feel like a retard, okay? Define the following forms of government: democracy, limited monarchy, absolute monarchy, republic, and then it says give examples of each, okay? Name five county officers and the principal duties of each. Okay? Name and define the three branches of the government of the United States. This is something you learn in fifth grade around that time.
I can do that.
Give three duties of the president. What is meant by the veto power? Okay? Name three rights given Congress by the Constitution and two rights denied Congress. Okay? What is copyright and what is patent right? I mean, this is crazy, man. This is crazy shit. So...
if they're asking what the duties are of the president while Clinton's president, and every fifth grader with the internet could know that.
Yeah, because these are eighth graders. Nowadays, if you ask an eighth grader, they don't know shit.
No.
You know, how do you save the princess? Well, you got to go up, up, down, down, A, B, B.
Eighth graders?
Can't even make toast.
They'll tell you.
Eighth graders? Toast.
I'll tell you right now, half of the people that probably get a doctorate's degree would not be able to answer these questions. Forget eighth grade in today's time.
Yeah.
Okay? They would not be able to answer these questions. End of story. You know what? Let's wrap this up with the last one, which is the Google effect on the internet inspired mental illnesses. And now we'll close it with this. What is it? The tendency of the human mind to retain less information because it knows that all answers are only a few clicks away. All right? That's what it is. Big the fuck up to all your internet Googling motherfuckers. So that concludes episode 24 of Nestorius Public Radio. Don't forget, tell your friends, go to iTunes, subscribe to the show. Look for Nestorius Public Radio. Subscribe to that shit. We have a weekly show, a new show to occupy your brain canals.
Yeah, don't be an asshole. Subscribe already.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Go to our website, NestoriusPublicRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook. I know that we were talking about how it's useless, but check us out. We're counting. We're making
Get
sure
off
that,
your couch and go on Facebook.
Yeah, go on Facebook. check out Nestorius Public Radio. Like us. To be honest with you, I don't really know what the fuck that means, but just do it. Like us.
To be honest, we don't care if you like us, because we're going to keep doing the real live shit, the Wu-Tang Killer shit.
Follow us on Twitter, on Nestorius NYC. Again, why? I have no idea, but that's what everybody's doing. So just do it, you know? It's no big deal. We're bringing it to the people. We got Simon motherfucking Kaufman with his recently...
You ain't got no friends anyway, so just we'll be your friends.
You know what I'm saying? We got Simon Kaufman with his freshly cut and colored hair. We got my man Ben, our new intern.
Thank you, Nestor. I really appreciate it, honestly.
You're going to be here with us up until December from Temple University.
You know it.
You're going to help us blast this shit on the social media site because I have no fucking idea what's going on.
I got you.
We got Twish Honey, who's also a social media expert. And, you know, we're going to be kicking it. We're going to talk. And we got my man Rich, who is on day zero of juicing. We've been eating all sorts of shit. And you got your host, Nestorius, and Nestor Rodriguez. But, yo, before I go, Jeremy, you were juicing, weren't you?
Yeah.
How long did you juice for?
Up until like 3 days ago.
Oh, wow.
But you weren't juicing like every single day consistently without anything else.
I was juicing and eating nuts.
That's it?
Almonds.
That's
specifically.
It? So how many days is that?
Well, up until 3 days ago.
Which is what? Like 20 days? 15
days? Yeah, it was pretty long.
It has to be because I spoke to you before we started shooting the movie. That's about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I wasn't really counting. But yeah.
It's got to be over 3 weeks. Wow, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
All right.
It was good.
I see you lost some weight.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Awesome.
How do you feel?
How do you feel? Feel good?
Yeah, I feel good.
Cool.
And by juicing, we mean anabolic steroids, folks.
right.
Anyway, that concludes our episode 24, I believe it is, of Nestorius Public Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you tune in every Thursday night. Holla at your motherfucking boy. Big the fuck up to all you listeners. Big the fuck up to all you Jamaican posse wannabe motherfuckers. Big up to all you Brooklynites. Big up to all you motherfuckers in Puerto Rico, Los Angeles, and Orange County. Big the fuck up to Anaheim. Booyah! Get it off, let it off, shut it off, get it off, let it off.
Y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me to...